All right. Hey, folks, we're back. This is David and Bill talking about follow-up to our audio blog series about the top 10 reasons most field service companies fail and how not to fall victim to the common pitfalls. We did our first series here last week, and what we talked about was working on the business versus in the business, and had some great content. And I hope you had a chance to check that out. Today, we're going to be talking about understanding the cost of doing business, the hidden variables to consider, and things that cut into your profitability. So, again, I'm David Brass with Cilio Technologies, and on with me is Bill Burdan of Burdan Consulting. And, Bill, as we kick this off this week, what does this mean to you, the understanding the cost of doing business? What's that mean, and why do we care?
Well, if I could just jump right in line and say, I think one of the hidden variables is the most costly thing is the not knowing what the cost of doing business incorrectly is. The cost of not doing business right could be a lot more costly than some of the hidden variables that we'll discuss. And I think, when we talked last week, we kicked that off, just kind of raising your head up above the field to see what the business needs. But right out of the gate, the cost of not doing business properly can be more costly than just maybe overpaying a crew member to get them to do an extra job, or the things that we know, cost of living. So not doing business, discounting, I'll come right out of it, is desperate estimates and discounting a cost. And we'll get into this further in the series as we talk about value. But when you discount a job right out of the gate and you're looking at other estimates and you're simply just saying, hey, have you gotten other estimates? Well, I'll beat them. There's a reason why those other companies are in business longer than you are, because they don't do that. So they understand the proper way to estimate a job and make sure that they're building everything into the cost, right? We all know what the 2x4s cost now, and anybody can research what's a journeyman's rate in my local area for carpentry and give themselves a rough idea of what it's going to cost. But if you discount what your project and what you're providing, the cost of doing business wrong can be a lot worse for your company than just some of the simple hiccups. But I just read off some of the basic data that's out there that if a customer has a bad experience with you, they're 86% more likely to never pick up the phone and call you again. So a lot of contractors, companies I've worked for in the past relied a lot on the word of mouth. Imagine 86% less mouths to service. How much does that cost your business at the end of the year when you're looking to find out who's buying the Christmas presents, right? So the cost of not doing it correctly, right? 2 to 3 times more likely to leave a bad review. And those of us who have worked with retailers and in and out of that arena for several years, we have all seen the pains of that. There are more negative results in communications. There's more negative comments on a Google review than there are positive ones. And so that can be super costly.
Man, great points, guys. Yeah, thinking about the cost of doing business, how do most people determine, hey, how much does it cost me to do business? What am I making? And let's talk about the wrong way to do it. I think some folks will start a business and they're better at their trade than they are businessman. So what they do is they add up their bills, they pay their bills at the end of the month, and they say, hey, everything else that's left over is what I made, and that's my profit. I'm doing good. So I think, on paper, for the end of that month, maybe you look really good, but I think, you're missing the bigger picture in a lot of ways. And that's what we're going to spend a minute talking about, is what are those hidden variables. But yeah, let's jump right into some of those. But the first one, is number one, the fluctuating cost of commodities. You've got variable cost, and again, depending on when you're listening to this, the cost of a 2x4 is over $7, and sometimes that's down to $2. So I think, when you're talking about your profitability and the cost of business and things of that sort, most everybody's got a way or their own method, whether you're using an app or a tool or a notebook, but you're going to write somebody a quote when you're going out there. And I think, a lot of folks tend to, make that process as quick as possible because you're making a lot of quotes. So I think number one, if you're not accommodating, the changing product costs, then you're still going out there and quoting a 10 by 10 deck the same way that you did 6 months ago, you might actually find you're underwater in this project. And at the same time, if the costs go down, and you're still quoting that same price for that 10 by 10 deck, then yeah, you're probably pricing yourself out of the market if the prices came down and you didn't adjust, and less of a chance you're going to get that job. So I think really being in tune with those commodity prices, reflecting those in your quotes, and then also setting an expiration date in your quote. You know, a lot of folks will say, hey, this is good for 30 days. But again, you know, you just want to make sure that you're not shooting yourself in the foot when you're, you know, writing quotes and your margins are baked in there the way you need them to be. So, Bill, what other hidden variables do you think about that people don't always consider about the cost of doing business?
You know, like you touched upon it, it's your flow versus your income, right? What's coming in? That's great. That could be a very short sprint. So taking a look at what's coming in monthly and going, wow, I made a lot of profit. I paid my crews. I've paid off my business cards. It sounds like I have a lot of profit, but you don't know what the next season, the next part of the year looks like. You don't know what the consumer trends are going to be. And again, to your point, you don't know what the fluctuating costs of material is going to be in commodities, right? So that's going to hold the buyer back. Your labor may be stagnant, whereas the commodities are dynamic, and that dynamic will push a consumer back from making a decision. This is why new housing and building, that kind of leveled off. And then we saw this jump in real estate because everybody's buying existing homes. We're not going to build anything new. So that is a huge part. If you don't know what your flow is versus what your income, what are you building for the future to keep that business thriving? And how are you doing it? How are you tracking it? Are you using a software program? Do you have processes in place? Are you able to look back 2 years ago and say, I'm making the same money I did 2 years ago? That's not always good. So if you don't know the difference between your flow and your income, and the fluctuation of costs and what the consumer trends are, you're in trouble.
Wow, straight up. Well, here's a couple others for you to consider too, guys. Fuel costs. I mean, you know, of course, you know, it's cost us more at the pump now than it did, you know, several months ago. But, you know, again, you know, how many of you didn't adjust your rates, you know, for your quotes based on that fuel charge and what it costs you? Not just that one time to go out there and drop a quote, but thinking about your crews, they're going to have to go out to that job site X amount of days in a row. And, you know, what this is costing them over time that you've got to, you know, impact with your, you know, with your labor rates, you're paying your crews or your own fuel costs. So just making sure you're working that into is a variable. Next one's insurance. You know, you've got general liability, workers' comp, you've got various policies that you need to protect yourself and your business. But again, those are all costs of doing business. And if you don't plan and budget for those appropriately, you know, it's really going to give you the pinch in your profitability. But you got to think too, if I'm writing a quote today, you know, for a big bathroom remodel, and, you know, you've got a little wiggle room baked into your quote, but if, you know, that quote probably isn't going to, you know, really, you know, sell until the spring season, then of course, you know, you'll have an opportunity to rework your quote. But on this insurance cost, you know, your insurance costs are going to go up year over year in most cases. So again, you know, if you're not expecting the job to close for a while, you know, that's one of those things to consider is, you know, hey, what's my cost of doing business at the time I'm expecting to sell this job? So, yeah, keep that in mind, too. Bill, what else are hidden variables that you can think of that would affect your cost of doing business?
Well, that's exactly a great point, and something I wanted to speak on is again, you don't know. When you lay the estimate down, what is the timing? How do you track how quick you're actually turning estimates? Sometimes you'll give somebody a quote in the fall and they're not ready for the spring, but you've already locked that number in. No expiration date on that and no idea what the costs are going to look like in spring. You're putting yourself in a disadvantage right out of the gate. Having that understanding of what are your timeframes? How do you set an estimate up? How are you closing these jobs properly? And when are you pricing based on the timeframes is huge.
Yeah, right on. Well, yeah, next couple points to consider, team, is going to be, you know, tools. You know, it's more than just a hammer. You know, you've got depreciation on these tools more than just having it available. So eventually these things are going to wear out. You're going to have to replace them. They're going to break. And then, you know, just keeping that in mind as part of this overall cost of doing business, as well as your vehicles, you know, your personal vehicle, your work vehicles, however you're getting back and forth for both you and your crews. But, you know, those have got maintenance costs, they've got depreciation. So making sure, you know, you're considering those as the way. Next couple is going to be around, some of the cost of your admin side, whether you're got a storage space, whether you're, for warehousing products, whether you've got an office, you're working out of the house, there's a cost that goes along with that. You've got the management applications or the business tools that you're using to help organize your business are all costs, and just making sure that those are, part of this equation too. All right, Bill, what else you got for some of these hidden variables we want to make sure people are thinking through?
One is having an awareness, one of what your business expenses are properly, right? To understand fuel costs, fluctuation of commodities, tools. Who owns the tools? Are you providing them to your crews? Are they a little flippant on it? Are they taking the care that they would on their own? So kind of having those control mechanisms in place. But knowing your business expenses, key. However, sometimes too focused on your business expenses, you also have to pay your bills. You got to take care of the home. So if you're the one that's driving the income to say support your lifestyle outside of the business, which sometimes it's hard because we blur those lines in the trades. I know that we live and breathe our businesses, whether we're on vacation or whether we're sitting in our kids' confirmation event in church with the cell phone hidden under a lap, trying to throw a text message out to a crew. Guilty of that. So you have to understand too that you can't just only function in the business. You have to have a life, and you got to function for your own personal needs of even doing this business. If you're flat and you're showing net margin zero at the end of the day, and you're only keeping the business alive, you're just laundering money. So that is a major, major threat to it. The other thing is time, right? And it's something that everybody says. Time is money, but you need to build that into how you're estimating your jobs, the cost of doing business. If you're not set up with a customer service software program like CIO, if you don't have any processes in place that you've had the courage to raise your hand and say, "Man, I've been chasing my tail in these areas. Someone please give me some guidance and understanding of what I'm doing wrong, and let's set this business up and structure." Time will not be accounted for. Time of going back to the job to kind of just sit with Mr. and Mrs. Brass and go, "Hey, that's normal. That's going to look like that." Just that time alone, or taking your lead crew member off of a job to go to a customer's home to take care of something that should have been set up in expectations, followed up in a process to ensure at the end of the job everybody said thumbs up. You're taking that person off of another job. You're robbing Peter to pay Paul. And now you're living right in the expectation, the perception of the world that they have on contractors are they start off strong and then they taper off. That's because you're not putting enough time, thought into how you run your business successfully to account for that, whether you're investing in it upfront and putting processes and softwares in place, or you're putting it into how you price out these jobs to account for the fact that you're going to have to jump back and forth often enough on that roof client just to let them know that's normal. The shingles will level off at some point.
Yeah, I think time's a huge one. We all use that term. We've all heard it. Hey, time is money. And here's another way to think of it though. If you're spending time doing blah, is it generating revenue for you? And if not, that's an expense of doing business. So again, things that you're doing to generate revenue, you're out there writing quotes, that ideally will generate revenue. You're out there, swinging hammer at a job that's generating revenue. But at the same time, that's what you got to think about if you're spending time doing the right things. And again, you've got things that you have to do to run your business that aren't generating money. But again, just consider that a cost of doing business, and just thinking about the time you spend and how you spend it. Yeah, great call outs there. Yeah, last thing I've got, around just some of the hidden variables is the investments you make in your team and training. Again, that's got an investment. You're going to spend some time doing this. Again, if you're teaching your team how to do something that normally you would have to do yourself, like, we'll pick on crown molding. It's definitely got a specific skill set. If you're the only guy that can cut crown molding in your company, then that's, obligations you've got to do out on a job site versus, doing something to develop your business and, driving more revenue. So yeah, invest the time, train up some people to do those things, and then again, you can spend time in ways that it's more beneficial and drives more revenue for you. Yeah, Bill, what do you think about training?
Training is the foundation of a successful business. Again, we spoke on it on our previous conversation last week of kind of being able to take the time and put your culture, your style, and what's made you successful at hanging that crown molding into somebody else's head, allowing somebody that may be not fully qualified or on resume, on paper, to come into your organization and invest in them. And what does that investment mean? It means that they're getting every bit of your attention that they need, that you don't stop a training when you say, this is my time frame of normal training. You're checking in with your people. Do you feel comfortable going into a home and doing something? Do you feel that you understand exactly what my expectations are outside of the cuts, the miters, and where you put your tools? The investment in a team is huge. And it brings me to an example that I just had recently, and I had a client kind of pay me a compliment, just saying, hey, it was nice to be able to go on a vacation and be able to set aside time for my family and while my business was running. He had no idea the anarchy that was going on behind the scenes in his organization, where one of his field roles reached out to me and said, you know, we brought on a new guy up in this territory where we were struggling, but he sounds like a rock star. He just doesn't get it yet. And I don't know if I'm approved to go ahead and spend more money, company money, to stay up here and train this gentleman. And the question was, well, is it worth the investment? And he said, absolutely. This is somebody that absolutely understands what we're trying to do in this company. So if I didn't think that the leader was the type of person that was courageous enough to recognize it as well, I would have said, well, you're going to have to hold off. But my answer was, go do it, invest in the training. And that was the feedback I got from the owner when he got back in, was exactly that. Thank you for taking that. I absolutely agree with it. I approve of it. You guys have a plan in place, and we are going to invest in the future like your kids, right? If you're not investing in what they're doing every day, and investing doesn't need financially, it means quality time spent observing and listening and asking questions of what their needs are and giving them the right guidance. It's the same thing in your crews. They need to know how important they are in your life and how important it is for them to give you feedback and say, I just don't feel comfortable doing this yet. That is truly the sign of an evolved leader. And it is the key to success. If you do not train, and then let's just give you a great scenario, David. Let's just say I don't invest the training in David that I should, but I need to bring on Bill. And I ask David to train Bill. What do you think that training looks like? It's like the old grapevine where everything kind of just falls off and falls off and falls off until you go, my goodness, David, what did you do to train Bill? He's all over the place. And, you know, to coin the phrase of an old commercial back in the day, is I learned it from watching you, okay? So I think that is the key to success, is training and investing in people. And in today's culture of keeping people invested in your company in a workforce that is not easy to retain or come by, you have to give them skin in the game. You have to have them be part of the evolution of your company.
Yeah, you know, I think you. If a lot of our audience here is going to think about, you know, the crews and who they've got working for them, think about your top couple of guys and think about what your company looks like if they leave. You know, what makes an employee leave is going to be, you know, you've heard the terms before, you know, they leave bad bosses, they're not making enough money. But again, you know, growing your team, you know, challenging them to take themselves to the next level means that, you know, there's a path forward for them, you know, that you're pushing that ceiling up a little bit. So, you know, again, if you just only let a guy do these certain things that he's done in the past, and you're not challenging him with new activities and he's not learning, by him learning, you training him, he can take on, you know, higher paying jobs, then it's a way for your labor force to move themselves forward. And again, for retention purposes, that's just absolutely huge to keep your people challenged, engaged, and keep your good people. So, yeah, I guess as we put a fork in this subject this week of, you know, the cost of doing business and just thinking about the variables, my last takeaway is just thinking, you know, about what it costs you and budgeting for these variables. You know, think about, you know, your balance sheet at the end of the month, and that's not necessarily what you really have to work with. You know, think about the time you spent, about the money you spent, the investment that you made in your business. And then that is your true cost of doing business. So, yeah, any parting thoughts on the subject, Bill?
Nothing to expand on. I mean, it's exactly what will cause a failure to a company is just not knowing what the cost of business is doing. I've been victim to this. I've worked with companies in the past, and I'll tell you what, it's the nature of contractor business. You get a nice check, right? You complete a project and you sit on that and you get that check. And when that customer pays on time, it's fantastic. You know, you're getting more money than you could have gotten sitting at a desk somewhere. But if you just stare at that pile of cash and not understand what's going to help drive that flow and that income, you're putting yourself at a major disadvantage.
Great call, guys. All right, as we wrap this this session up, we're going to hang out for the next one. We're going to talk about how to communicate value, making your business stand out. So thanks for the time, guys, and we'll catch you in the next round.
Take care.